Wayne Pacelli believes humans have always bonded with animals, and he says it is in our DNA and our psyche to treasure and protect them. He lays out the case in his new book, The Bond, Our Kinship with Animals, Our Call to Defend Them. Wayne Pacelli is president and CEO of the Humane Society of the United States. He joins us this morning to discuss why he thinks humans need to defend animals and be true to that bond. Wayne Pacelli, good morning. Welcome to the roundtable. A pleasure to have you back on the program.
Oh, thanks for having me. Great to be with you.
Thank you very much. Let us talk a little bit about the book and the tour. You're going to be in our region in September doing a bunch of events in upstate New York. What does it allow you, the book allows you to go out and get the message, not only to talk about the book, but to talk about the Humane Society and your greater work?
Well, right now I'm really excited to come to Albany and to be in a number of other upstate cities. I'll be there Sunday, September 9th, so a week from this coming Sunday at the Barnes & Noble at 1 o'clock. And, you know, I called the book The Bond because I have felt a bond with animals for, you know, really my entire life. And so many kids have an instinct or a sort of moral intuition about animals. They love animals. They're fascinated by them. And that's the right sort of instinct, and we should nourish and encourage that as we get older. And one of the things from my perch as president of the Humane Society of the United States that I've seen is that our relationship with animals is characterized by great contradictions. I mean, you would find very few people who would say it's acceptable to abuse animals or be cruel to them. In fact, New York and all the other states have anti-cruelty statutes that make it a crime to exhibit malicious mistreatment of animals, and we criminalize certain practices like dog fighting and cockfighting. Yet in this very same culture, we have so many other uses and abuses of animals, and many of them are legal and permissible, whether it's, in some cases, the shark fin trade, killing sharks for their fins to make shark fin soup, or killing animals with steel jaw Leghorn traps for their fur, or confining animals on these large factory farms, so much so that in the case of breeding pigs or laying hens, the animals are in these tight quarters so much that they're effectively immobilized. And what I try to do in the book is kind of disentangle what's going on emotionally for us as individuals, and also to kind of look at what's going on more broadly in society so we can, you know, really forge a better pathway forward for animals.
Where do you draw the line in the sense of, I think, as you say, and I agree with you, that we have this intuition to have this bond with animals, and yet that relationship is often very conflicted. But is it the same thing when you talk about, yes, okay, there is an abuse of a dog or a cat that affects us and that we are very concerned over and we react to physically? Or, and is that different than a kid at the end of a dock fishing for a rainbow trout that they're going to have for dinner?
Right. Well, you know, I think that one of the things I ask readers of my book to do is to think through all of our relationships with animals. I mean, of course, because there's been this legal framework that's existed, you know, really since the early to mid part of the 19th century, that cruelty is wrong, it's become routine and accepted to really embrace the idea that it's wrong to kind of set a cat on fire or bludgeon a dog or do something terrible. But a lot of other uses, because they're perfectly legal and because they're big, you know, industries that are engaging these acts, that becomes routine. Now, you know, you frame this up, you know, with examples on both sides. And, you know, fishing is not something that the Humane Society of the United States, you know, works much on at all. We do some work on commercial fishing where the animals are kind of being mined from the oceans. And
you mentioned shark fins, right?
Right, shark fins. And then there are also issues with kind of catching tuna in the eastern tropical Pacific by encircling dolphins with the nets. And there are issues of sea turtles being killed by shrimpers and others. So there are a lot of marine issues. But, you know, regular sport fishing is not something that we focus on. We do, however, look to address certain what we call more institutionalized cruel cruelty practices. I mean, factory farming of animals would be one. I mean, confining these breeding sows in the pig industry. We raise and kill 110 million pigs every year in this country, and about 5 million of them that are used in this industry are breeding sows. They're kept in a cage that's 2 feet wide by 7 feet long. I mean, the animals can't even turn around, and they may be in that cage for 3 or 4 years. Now, I don't care whether you're a vegetarian or you're an inveterate carnivore, we can do better than that as a society, and we must do better than that. These animals feel and they think, and we've got the power to either, you know, confine them and be cruel, or we've got the power to be decent to them. And I think that it's part of our duty and obligation to be decent to them.
So is there a difference in your mind between that factory farm and an independent farm that is slaughtering animals for food and processing them, but yet they are in a more open environment?
Yes, I really do think there is a difference. Now, I'll tell you, as an individual, and again, this is just an individual, I'm a strict vegetarian and have been that way for 27
right.
or 28 years.
Both cases, the animals end up dead.
They do, but the difference is you can lead an entire life where every day is miserable versus a life that's okay except for one bad day at the end. You know, I just visited some farms in Iowa.
It's a hell of a bad day, though, isn't it, Wayne?
It is a bad day, but if you're going to live a year and a half, I see a big distinction between, you know, 550 days where misery and privation are kind of the norm
right.
versus one day. And I went to a pig farm, part of Nyman Ranch, which markets pork products from animals who are outside. They can root around in the ground. They have a decent life. Again, that's one bad day, and I think your listeners need to make that moral choice for themselves on where they draw the line. But I personally, you know, I think that being a vegetarian is a great option, but I also think that people who are going to eat meat should be thinking about where that meat comes from and how those animals are raised, and they should certainly take an intentional sort of approach to getting products that come from farms that don't confine the animals, that don't mutilate them, that don't do terrible things to them during production, transport, and slaughter.
Now, here's the big question. How do we, and you address this in the book, and it is fascinating, but how do we know that? Because what is, you know, we have now terms of free range and so forth, and we've also learned that a lot of times those terms aren't what they seem. So
yes.
How do we know?
Well, this is where you have a group like the Humane Society of the United States really driving the debate and the discussion in society. But, you know, it's not just us. We've got to have our members and other supporters throughout the country who are demanding more transparency, better labeling, by companies. I mean, right now we've got federal legislation in Congress, H.R. 3798 and S. 3239, to phase out these barren battery cages, these small wire cages in which laying hens are housed, and to require not just more space for the birds, but a labeling program so that consumers can have definite information on how those birds were raised, so they can know, you know, that the eggs that they're getting did not come from a place where the hens were confined in small cages, or they were opting for cage-free or free-range. You know, there will always be some level of uncertainty in the process, but we can minimize that by holding companies accountable. And of course, if someone represents on a package that the laying hens are raised in a free-range environment and they're not, we have laws in society that prevent false advertising and misrepresentation. So
right.
we'd be very interested in that kind of information. I think that those terms are more precise and more reliable than things like natural, which doesn't mean anything in the real world. That's just a marketing tool, whereas cage-free or free-range does mean something. It doesn't mean perfection. Certainly in the case of cage-free, you could have animals not in cages but indoors in a big barn, and it's not an idyllic living situation, but at least they're out of a small cage where they can barely extend their wings.
When it comes to factory farming in particular, and I guess this just comes to of how you don't of how the Humane Society keeps focus, because it would seem to me that you would look at an issue like that and say, okay, well, there is this going on, and we want to protect the humanity of that animal. But in that process, those cows, those pigs, those chickens may also be given feed, be given food, be given supplements, so that the product is bigger and stronger and plumper and juicier. And do you concern yourself with that as well? Because that's ultimately what can harm us as the consumer of that product.
Yes, well, we take a very comprehensive approach on this, and you're so right that we zero in on particularly inhumane practices like battery cages for laying hens, or like gestation crates for breeding sows, or veal crates for young male calves raised for veal, or things like tail docking of dairy cows, which is an unnecessary mutilation procedure. So we're very pragmatic, we're very focused at the Humane Society of the United States, but we are quite aware of the larger dynamics. I mean, we're supporting federal legislation to take the widespread non-therapeutic use of antibiotics out of industrial agriculture. I mean, this is not just, we think, bad for the animals because it enables these extreme confinement practices, but it's a public safety threat to all of us. I mean, the classes of antibiotics that are in the feed and water of animals on factory farms are the same types of antibiotics we give to our children or our grandparents or anybody in between who's suffering from a malady. And those antibiotics only work when they're not overused. And 80% of all antibiotics in this country are given to animals on factory farms. This is a public health crisis. And in fact, New York U.S. Representative Louise Slaughter from Rochester is the author of a bill to crack down this practice. And Nan Hayworth, a Republican from outside of New York City, is a lead Republican co-sponsor on that. So there's a growing bipartisan effort to deal with this, and we must. And so many of the other issues on factory farms, the inordinate concentration of animals on these farms and the manure that's produced that pollutes our streams and our waterways. I mean, there are all sorts of moral problems with factory farms, and that's why, you know, we at HSUS don't say, well, you've got to, you know, just live a certain way or eat a certain way, but we should be thinking about these issues and doing our best as individuals to be conscious and aware consumers.
The name of the book is The Bond, Our Kinship with Animals, Our Call to Defend Them. You can find out more information about their work at the Humane Society by going to humanesociety.org. Wayne Pacelli is the president and CEO of the Humane Society of the United States. He will be at a Colony Center, Barnes & Noble in Albany next Sunday, September 9th from 1 to 3 p.m., Barnes & Noble in Albany, Colony Center, 1 to 3 on Sunday, September 9th. Again, you can find out more information at humanesociety.org. The name of the book is The Bond. Wayne Pacelli, thank you very much for being with us. Best of luck in your efforts.
Thank you so much.
A great pleasure. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.